Ranch, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Prosecutors in the Hunter Biden gun trial today calling the widow of Hunter Biden's late brother, Beau, to testify. Hunter Biden is accused of lying on a form about drug use in 2018 when he purchased a firearm. Here's ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
Beau Biden's widow, who had been romantically involved with Hunter Biden at the time he purchased his gun, told jurors of how she found the revolver, panicked, and threw it away in the trash. Hallie Biden said she remembered that days earlier, Hunter told her he'd be meeting with a dealer named Mookie, from whom she believed he'd be buying crack. But under cross-examination, Hallie Biden conceded it's difficult to recall exactly where Hunter was at certain points, telling jurors it's all kind of vague.
President Biden, in an interview with ABC's David Muir, says he would not pardon his son Hunter if he's convicted. Federal prosecutors charging a California man for allegedly using fireworks as an incendiary device and shooting from an in-flight helicopter to destroy a Lamborghini. He uploaded that alleged incident on his YouTube channel. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The ACLU of Wisconsin is suing the city of Milwaukee over plans for demonstrations during the Republican National Convention. The group says the designated protest zone violates the First Amendment. Convention organizers are pushing in the other direction, complaining protesters will be too close to Fiserv Forum. The former warden at the Waupun State Prison is charged with misconduct in office. Eight former guards and nurses are accused of felony abuse. Four inmates have died at Waupun in the last year. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt says his investigation exposed a host of training, security, and safety problems.
These investigations have shown a blatant disregard for the safety of human beings.
One inmate died of malnourishment. Another was dead for 12 hours before anyone noticed. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A rollover crash in Douglas County resulted in serious injuries for the driver over the weekend. According to the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, the crash occurred around 6:30 p.m. on Sunday on Highway 2 in the Poplar area. The car reportedly rolled off of the road into a wooded area and came to a stop upside down in the trees. The driver of the car was flown to a local hospital with serious injuries, and authorities believe that speed was a factor in the crash. Authorities have not provided an update on the condition of the injured driver. A number of tribute trees were planted around the city of Superior this week. According to a Fox 21 report, the Tribute Tree Program allows donors to pick a unique tree and location to honor a loved one, celebrate an anniversary, or a variety of other reasons. Each tree includes a plaque and a ceremony, and prices range from $200 to $350. On Tuesday, 16 trees were planted around the city through the program. Over 900 trees have been planted through the program over 23 years. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Milwaukee gets swept in Philadelphia. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. For the third straight day, the Brewers' bats stayed quiet, and Milwaukee was shut out by the Phillies 2-0 on Wednesday. It's the first time the Brewers have been swept this season. Manager Pat Murphy says the Brewers are right there with the best teams in baseball.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League. Like, hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys, and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Milwaukee was outscored 7-2 in the series. They'll have a day off before heading to play Detroit for three games against the Tigers starting Friday. Tonight is the first game of the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics host the Dallas Mavericks in the best-of-seven series. Today is the start of the state high school softball tournament in Madison. You can follow along on the WIAA's website. The Packers wrap up OTAs today ahead of next week's mandatory minicamp. Training camp opens up next month. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mainly cloudy and cooler, as high temperatures only rise to the low 60s. And we've got those feisty winds whipping out of the northwest, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. And spotty showers do have a chance to sprinkle in this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, I just don't get it. What was in it for them?
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, my good friend Sandy Williams will join the show from Florida. We'll talk about the biggest political stories of the week and break down some of the issues affecting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined by Brian Kelly in the booth, playing some tunes. I do have some good news for everyone today. You can win stuff from Civic Media.
Yeah!
I like winning stuff. We got Wisconsin Dells Getaway Weekend. We got Lake Geneva. We got Crystal Lake with a pontoon. We got Brewers tickets, club level. That's VIP.
How do I do this? Like, how would I do this? Is it easy? Is it
Magic.
Hard? Do I have to fill out a large form and
no.
No?
You just need the free Civic Media app from
it's
where
free?
It is free. $0. 0 cents.
That's awesome.
You're going to get that app. You're going to text the word that I'm going to give you in just a couple of minutes. During the hour, you'll have up until 4 p.m. Text.
What is the word?
I'm not telling them yet.
Oh, okay.
No, suspense. Wait. It's yes.
Suspense.
Because I know everybody wants to hear the other great news, which is Steve Bannon has been ordered to report to federal prison on July 1st.
That's a shame.
Just in case you forgot, Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro both refused to show up after they received, you know, subpoenas from Congress. From the January 6th committee. Peter Navarro, if you're wondering, I haven't heard from him in a while. He was the former MAGA president's trade advisor. You haven't heard from him in a while because he's currently serving a sentence for what? Ignoring a congressional subpoena.
Great job.
Well done, Mr. Navarro. 4 months for him. But just today, Judge Carl Nichols, who has overseen Steve Bannon's contempt of Congress case since October of 22, and let him remain free while he appealed, and it went up to the appeals court, and they rejected his appeal. He's saying you got to show up. You get in the clink. Now, we do expect Bannon's lawyers. Appeals are decided in the federal courts the first time. By a three-judge panel, then you can then request that the court hear your case en banc, meaning every single judge from that appeals court, not just three randomly selected judges. So we'll see what happens. If the full appeals court does not grant review, I think Master Bannon's going to prison. Happy Independence Day, Mr. Bannon. You will not be independent.
He's going to use this to make him a martyr,
as if
poor Steve Bannon is a martyr because of his own actions.
you don't get to do bad things, receive the legally specified consequences, and then martyr yourself. That's not how martyrdom works.
Yeah, I don't know that they actually. I'm a martyr now. I've been. I said it was unjust, and it happened to me. I don't know why I'm giving him a Southern accent, but
you are. Well,
Steve Bannon, I'm mad. It's more better.
That's better. More better. More
I'm
better.
Steve Bannon.
Yeah, very angry. Very angry man. Interesting. After he's done with this little tidbit, not quite over yet. Steve Bannon is also scheduled to go to trial on fraud related to fundraising to build Trump's wall, which magically didn't make it into the federal coffers, didn't go to... You can't tell people you're donating money to build the wall and then it doesn't go to the wall. That's not how stuff works. That's actually fraud.
Why? Because, I mean, Trump said he was going to go and give, you know, cancer money to cancer charities, and then he never
didn't.
Oh, he also can't have a charity ever again. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
That's good.
That did have a consequence. So he's going to trial on fraud for stealing people's money while telling them that it was going to go to build a wall, which never really got built except for a few hundred feet, which already had a wall on it before Trump was ever president. I'm getting distracted. Okay, so his fraud trial, that's coming up. And guess where that's going to be?
In the middle of the UFC octagon?
Dana White, we have an idea.
Steve Bannon.
Steve
versus
Bannon.
The judge.
Can I slap fight with Steve Bannon, please?
You know what? I think I'd be really good at slap fighting.
Steve Bannon. I'm Team Brian. I'll be your cut man.
Folks.
I'll be your cut man, Brian.
Folks, you won't need a cut man. I just need one hit.
One good slap.
I got some bear paws.
You do have meat paws. I call those meat paws.
I can touch all four sides of a piece of paper.
Oh, that's so impressive. should I tell you my slap story?
Yeah. You got a slap story? That's great.
I have a slap story. I have many stories, Brian.
Same here.
We have all this time to tell them.
Uh-huh.
Here's my slap story. I was in a bar, my favorite bar in Milwaukee, and it was quiet. Except there was a drunk guy at the end of the bar. And this is like a proper Milwaukee little neighborhood tap. You know what I mean? It's got probably like 12 stools. This is a small joint. Guy is totally off his rocker and is screaming. I mean, he was so loud. And I'm just, it was cold, so he couldn't go. I couldn't get away from him. And it was interesting because all of a sudden, I noticed, like, he and a female friend of his are walking up to me. And I was like, oh, my God, what are these people going to ask me? And she looks at me, his friend, because he's all messed up. She's like, hey, my friend would like you to give him a whiskey slap. And I was like, oh, pray tell, what is a whiskey slap? I had never heard of this thing. She proceeds to explain to me, so he's going to do a shot of Jack Daniels. He's going to set the shot glass down, and then you get to slap him as hard as you want.
That's amazing.
Total, complete strangers, everybody. So this guy, he just spent 30 minutes annoying the bejiggers out of me. So I'm like, hell yes, I will whiskey slap the snot out of your friend.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm down. So sure enough, they pour a shot. Oh, and I asked him, I said, I'm going to stand. I said, can I slap him standing up? Yes. I said, I'm going to stand up now, sir. Feel free to decline to permit me to slap you after I stand up, because he couldn't, wasn't quite seeing all the scale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I stand up, and I had boots on because it was wintertime. So I'm real tall, real tall. He is significantly shorter than I am. So I'm going to have the downward trajectory.
Oh, that's good.
On the slap.
Yeah, that's the secret on those little punch machines, by the way.
Oh,
downward trajectory.
Downward trajectory. Yep. Mm-hmm. Angles, people, angles. So he looks at me and I go, you sure you still want to do this? Yes. Pour him a shot. Guy takes the shot. And I, like, cock back, get the hips into it. You know, I used to box.
Wow.
Did kick, little Muay Thai on the side. So I get the whole rotation going. you're watching on YouTube, you can see me physically demonstrating. There's a lot of rotation. We're also live on Facebook and X. And I slapped this guy as hard as I could. It's like, for every man that has ever deserved to be slapped by me, this guy was getting... The slap was so loud that people down at the other end of the bar stopped talking and turned around. Everyone was looking, and the guy, it was sort of like the Matrix. If you remember the Matrix, and Keanu like leans back as he's dodging the bullets.
Yeah.
That was this guy. It's as if his knees, and he became virtually parallel with the floor. And I was so impressed. I give this guy, it's probably because he was trash. He sort of Keanu's back parallel to the floor and then somehow like resurrects himself up and looks like he's about to like pass out.
Well, yeah. You just took him to another land.
Yeah.
And he came back.
And then he's like, wow, shakes my hand, walks away. I ended up becoming friends with his female friend that walked over. She was like, that was amazing. Hey, we ended up talking and hanging out.
Hang out.
I got
now.
A new friend. Yeah, that's it was awesome. Great.
That's great.
What's up, Kara?
I had to stop him from screaming.
Some way, somehow. That was kind of the precursor conversation. It was like, I could tell my friend is drunk. He's being super obnoxious. Will you give him a whiskey slap? Was like, yeah, whatever that is.
I'm down for that.
I'm in it to win it. Okay, so Steve Bannon going to prison July 1st, later this year, going to be tried for fraud. Where? Not the Octagon. In the same courthouse where Donald Trump was just convicted.
Oh, fun.
The symmetry. And I wanted to share with you, there was one Republican, guy that's running for Senate in Maryland. One Republican who actually came out and said something after Donald Trump's verdict. It was like, we need to respect the process. This is former governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan. He said this, regardless of the result, I urge all Americans to respect the verdict and the legal process. At this dangerously divided moment in our history, all leaders, regardless of party, must not pour fuel on the fire with more toxic partisanship. We must reaffirm what has made this nation great. The rule of law.
Burn him. Burn him.
And the next day, should we take a quick listen on what Lara Trump might have had to say about Mr. Hogan? Again.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't support what he just said there. I think it's ridiculous. And I think anybody who's not speaking up in the face of really something that should never again have seen the light of day, a trial that would never have been brought against any other person aside from Donald Trump.
But does the RNC support his bid?
The respect of anyone.
Well, he doesn't deserve the respect of anyone?
Back to you. He doesn't deserve respect of anyone in the Republican Party at this point. And quite frankly, anybody in America, if that's the way you feel, that's very upsetting to hear that.
It's so are very you willing upsetting. To cede very, the Senate seat in
just
Maryland?
Cut it. It's very upsetting for Lara Trump, head of the RNC Republican National Committee, to hear Larry Hogan say, we must affirm what has made this nation great, the rule of law. That's ridiculous. That's very upsetting. And deserves the respect of no one in this country, per Lara Trump. Mensa is calling her every day, I hear. Would you please join? Maybe not. Some reflections on today. After these brief messages, hey, do you want to know what the special word to win is, Brian? It's Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I love my dog and my cats, but that is not always the feeling I have about them when I am doing my budget. Holy moly, pets can be expensive. So I found a few ways to save money on my pets without feeling like I'm cutting corners. Number one, some vet offices offer a bulk buy for a set of appointments, which can cut down on the per-visit cost of checkups. Number two, look around for online deals for pet food. I was resistant to this one for a while, but I found a subscribe and save deal at Chewy.com that was significantly cheaper than what I was paying for near my house. Number three, Craigslist. Craigslist might have it for free or close to it, and it's worth a check for things like a harness or washable toys or pet supplies. I got my dog's crate at Craigslist. And that is today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Trying to exercise the demons.
Yeah, or something. Stevie Nicks Part 2 minus Destiny's Child here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're into the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest that we've got going on here at Civic Media, if you like to spend weekends in the summer on a pontoon boat with adult beverages and maybe a meat and cheese tray, some crackers, we got you covered here at Civic Media.
Actually, if you don't like that, give us a call. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, we'll get you hooked up with a physician. Jeez. I'm joking, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, no doctor's going to help you there, man.
If you don't like adult beverages on a pontoon boat on a warm summer day on a lake in Wisconsin or meat and cheese plates, your name is probably Eric Hovde.
Oh, yeah. He likes being in the lakes, but not in Wisconsin.
No. And apparently, Eric Hovde used just his own employees and said, oh, these are Wisconsinites. No, they work for Hovde.
Yeah, the dude's in California, but can't seem to find any
Wisconsinites.
Any actors to portray Wisconsinites.
No.
Can't find any actors in California.
He just has to tell people to work for him.
There's just no actors in California. Can't find them.
It's paucity of actors.
I've done those commercials before. I've done a couple of them. And, you know, I did a union commercial, and it turns out I was actually in the union.
Oh,
and I did the commercial, but I also had to sign some papers for the other commercial that I did saying that I'm going to be doing this thing for this candidate so that they know that I'm a paid actor and all that stuff.
Yep.
And I got paid, and I didn't necessarily. And it turns out maybe you can say no, because actors, like your agent, will be able to ask you if you can say no. Maybe he couldn't actually. I doubt that he even tried, because he just said,
no, you do this. I can tell people to do this.
Hey, you
other
employee,
duties
do this.
As assigned. Yep. Other duties as assigned.
Pretty much.
If you actually, unlike Eric Hovde, enjoy a pontoon boat, meat and cheese plate, and an adult beverage that you yourself did not brew, that you just purchased at a store because alcohol is legal here. If you're not Eric Hovde and you're into that, you can text the word Wisconsin, 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 via the Civic Media app, and you will be entered to win a Wisconsin Dells weekend, Brewers Club level tickets, a Lake Geneva getaway, maybe even Crystal Lake with the pontoon boat, all kinds of fun stuff. Again, the word to win is Wisconsin. You can text that up until 4 o'clock on the hour. Do it via the app, otherwise it don't count. Wisconsin is your keyword today. Yeah, the Lara Trump, really, really something. Senate candidate Larry Hogan says, we must affirm what has made this nation great, the rule of law. Lara Trump's response, that's ridiculous, and no one in America should respect someone that says that. I don't want to give short shrift to D-Day, so here's what I'm going to do, Brian. We're going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do D-Day okay. Tomorrow. I just cool. Think it's... it's too important, and we've been kind of yucking it up. We're going to do a D-Day remembrance tomorrow. I'm going to talk about, and I did, if you're a regular listener, I talked a bit about NATO. I've talked about NATO with Professor Yoshika Herrera from the University of Wisconsin. She's coming back. We got her booked as a guest again, coming up in a couple, I think not next week, but the week after. But I'm going to be talking about the 80th anniversary of D-Day, which is today. And the sacrifices of the greatest generation. And what that means. If those things matter to you, if D-Day matters to you, if the sacrifices of the greatest generation matter to you, there really only is one choice this fall. So we'll take a pause tomorrow to do that. I have a really fantastic guest coming up at 3:30 on a topic that I think the importance of which basically cannot be overstated, and that is, how do police react to reports of domestic violence? I'm going to be joined by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Ashley Luthern, but wherever you are in the state, I guarantee it that someone in your circle of friends, family, coworkers, people that you see at your house of worship on the weekends, someone in the grocery store you're walking around in with your earbuds and listening to Civic Media on the app, someone is a victim and a survivor of domestic violence. And the problem that has been reported on extensively by the Journal Sentinel about how do police, what is the culture of policing surrounding domestic violence? It will touch you in some way. If you, and I guarantee some person in your circle is currently in a situation where they're trying to survive domestic violence. It's just that prevalent. We're going to talk about that with Ashley Luthern when we come back. But I had to share, I had a little interesting moment yesterday, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I was having some sangria after a 4.5 hour long hearing that you so graciously covered my show.
My goodness.
Yes, it was a long day. I was having a glass of sangria, sitting on Brady Street, enjoying the warm, sunny afternoon. And one of my best friend's parents walked by. They're the nicest people. Nicest people. Hey, guys. How you doing? We chit-chatted a little bit. Now, they're conservatives. They're Republicans. They voted for Trump twice. Okay. And I said, hey, Pat, what do you think of the conviction? And Pat looks at me and is like, well, as a lawyer, you got to tell me. You can't possibly tell me that Judge Mershon isn't conflicted. How is that possible? And I said to him, Pat, I got two questions or comments for you. The first is, do you think the judge, who the judge is, ends up determining whether or not Donald Trump is convicted of this case? Now, a judge can mess it up and slow it down, Aileen Cannon style. But ultimately, you know, there were documents. There's literal receipts. So that was my first comment. He kind of grumbled and we talked about that for a little. Then I said this, and I got dead silence, which is, you know, you got him when. I said, Pat, my second point is this. If you think Judge Mershon was irretrievably conflicted and should have recused himself from Donald Trump's case, then you also have to think that about Justice Alito, I would assume, and Justice Thomas, right? You want them to recuse from the January 6th criminal cases, right? The president's immunity case, the obstruction of Congress case. They clearly have to. It's basically a factual analogy in many ways, maybe even worse, some might argue, than Judge Mershon's daughter. Adult daughter. No response from my friend Pat. It's like, funny. That whole thing is ridiculous. And I was like, well, should Hunter Biden be currently on trial? Like the president last week, president's son this week. I mean, kind of weird. I don't know why the concept of what's good for the goose is good for the gander seems to be so troubling for Republicans.
Hey, if Biden's election was stolen, then I guess the other Republicans that were also elected on that same ballot
didn't win.
Oh, wait.
Where should we recount? No, just Dane and Milwaukee counties.
Makes
Only
sense.
Those votes don't count, Brian.
Sure.
When we come back, Ashley Luthern, we're going to talk about the culture of policing as it relates to domestic violence, something which I guarantee you someone you love, someone you know, is struggling with. My name is Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. If you want a text to win, the secret word is Wisconsin. Text it via the app and win cool stuff like a pontoon boat outing on Crystal Lake. We'll be back with more after your farm update.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Milk production is off this year. We're seeing states dropping off the top 10 as far as milk production is concerned, and we're watching dairy cows migrate to different areas of production. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Ryan Yonkman, broker analyst with EverAg, explains why this is and what he sees that's different this year about milk production patterns.
From a processing standpoint, that is something that's a little interesting. We know this fall and early spring of next year, we do have some big cheese plants coming at us. And so there is some new manufacturing coming our way that, you know, in theory is a little interesting because you're talking about making a lot more cheese in a market that, you know, thus far doesn't really act like it needs it. We think the bigger question is how are those plants going to get the milk? Where is it going to come from in an area or in a country where milk is already tight?
That was broker analyst with EverAg, Ryan Yonkman. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Grilling will never be dull as long as you partner with Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for the crew at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroner Road in Fitchburg. I want to remind you again about their expanded store hours. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Boy, they are ready for you. And the creativity that Bavaria Sausage is bringing to your grill this summer, amazing. And why not think about their Landjagers for that hiking trip or when you're taking the kids to the zoo, something like that. Bavaria's created a brand new Kranjager. It brings Wisconsin's heritage fruit, the cranberry, together with that German traditional flavor of Landjager. Take a look online, BavariaSausage.com, Bavaria Sausage on Facebook. They're introducing new tastes, new flavors, new options all the time. And don't forget about it, their expanded store hours, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, Bavaria Sausage in Fitchburg.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your Thursday closing markets. Cash corn closed at 452, up 12 and 3 quarters. And new crop corn closed at 469 and a half, and that was up 10 and a half cents. Cash beans closed at 12 even, that was up 22 and 3 quarters. And new crop beans closed at 1167, up 16 and a half cents. Cash wheat closed at 639 and a half, down 7 and a quarter cents. And new crop wheat closed at 661 and 3 quarters, down 6 and 3 quarters. On the dairy side of things now, July Class 3 milk contract is trading at $19.99 a hundredweight. That is down 16 cents. And August milk is trading at $20.28 a hundredweight, down 8 cents. Barrel cheese closed at $195.50. That was up a penny. 40-pound block cheese closed at $184.50. That was down 1.5 cents. And the AA butter closed down 4.5 cents at $3.05. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mainly cloudy and cooler, as high temperatures only rise to the low 60s. And we've got those feisty winds whipping out of the northwest, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. And spotty showers do have a chance to sprinkle in this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Matt and Air on Air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno Fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno Fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles joins me to talk about the best kid shows, Summerfest and Ferris Bueller. And I play some highlights from my visit to a recent Bigfoot convention.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights, 7 till 9.
Yo, yo, yo. It could
but you rather make it hard. We try to make it simple here, or at least understandable. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. You can hear us statewide or anywhere you are via the Civic Media app. And if you have the app, up until 4 o'clock this hour, if you text the word Wisconsin, you will be entered to win one of our Scotty Summer Prize packages, a little statewide text to win contest. But I'm joined this half hour by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Ashley Lutheran. I also want to break some news, frankly, a hat tip as well to both Ms. Lutheran as well as her colleagues at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just today. An incredible volume of breaking news coming out of your paper. The ACLU is suing the city of Milwaukee over Republican National Convention demonstration plans. I'll probably touch on that tomorrow if I've got time. Pro-Palestinian protesters interrupt UW Board of Regents meeting, leading to 7 arrests. And just moments ago, state suspends $17 million aid payment to Milwaukee Public Schools over missing audit. Wow. The dominoes continue to fall over that scandal. I'm trying to get your colleague, Roy Lane, booked for next week to talk a bit more about Superintendent Posley. But my congratulations to you, Ashley, for just incredible in-depth and investigative reporting over the course of, frankly, years now on the Bobby Joe Scheffling case. If you are not familiar with the baseline facts here, Bobby Joe Scheffling was killed by her partner, shot to death. But what preceded it is what really has gotten people into an uproar. And that is that Ms. Scheffling twice on July 11th called police, either herself or a friend called police because she was getting beaten and threatened by her partner. The police only responded in person once. The second time they were supposed to respond, did not, called her. None of the officers that were involved in either of those two calls wrote up a report on it, which then led to Ms. Scheffling coming into District 3. So she calls the cops, nothing happens, nobody shows up. So she goes into District 3 and is basically blamed for not doing enough, for being a woman, I don't know, for having the audacity to not be able to beat up her boyfriend. I mean, gets blamed by the cops. She's telling him very clearly, like, this guy's going to kill me. And once she leaves District 3, the cop, talking to someone else, basically calls her a litany of bad names. It's truly heartrending and heartbreaking, disappointing. And so we're going to start with some of that sound from when Bobby Joe Scheffling, who was murdered by her boyfriend, when she went into Milwaukee Police District 3 station and tried to get some help. Brian, why don't we just start at the top? We took the video just so that you're aware, Ashley and everybody else. You can find the full video. You can watch the video, which is almost as heartbreaking as listening to it. You can watch the video if you go to jsonline.com. You can find Ashley's reporting. All of the stories include this video. It's embedded there somewhere. We tried to cut it down a little bit, so it's not going to run perfectly smoothly, but everybody will be able to get a sense of what I'm talking to my guest, Journal Sentinel reporter Ashley Lutheran, this afternoon about. Let's take a listen, Brian.
These first two are the initial reporting, just so you're aware.
Aaron, be out in traffic, have the kids all screaming.
Well, yeah. Have you filed for a restraining order or anything lately?
It's like, okay. He's got a warrant.
What's your last name? What's your last name?
Very highly dangerous.
How long you been together?
We were together like a year.
I can grab my camera and my TV working on that.
You guys live together?
Yeah.
When?
Up until recently. That's why he's been in and out, really. He kind of just goes wherever because he knows he's on the run. But I've had my house since last year. He's been there for nothing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he like won't leave and he holds me hostage. Like literally, like I can't leave my house for days. He takes all my shit, he takes my phone, and I can't do shit. He'll come and he'll like shoot up cars that are outside my house. Like all the time. I'm just tired. Like I shouldn't have to live with
the last part, I shouldn't have to live like this.
So if you can't, she's reporting, again, that was one, that was, that must have been the officer that actually showed, one of the two officers that actually responded to her first call on July 11th in 2022. She's saying he basically holds me prisoner in my house, takes my phone and all my stuff away. I can't leave my own home. You can tell almost by the tone of the first word, like, have you filed a restraining order yet? You might have, comma, you idiot, right? It's sort of.
Hear this next one. She says he hit me right in the face.
And he just dragged me by my hair and punched me in my neck many times.
Where'd this happen on?
Where? This was happening on North in front of the building.
Where on North?
Like, I think 14, 15, somewhere in that area.
Here's some more.
Yeah,
so what do you think is going to happen this time?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's like you guys can never catch him. That's why.
Well, if we catch him, and then he goes down, and you don't show up, he gets released. So that's why I'm saying, what kind of outcome do you expect today? I mean, catch him again, you don't show up, he gets released. You just keep doing this cycle. You know what I mean?
And then her friend asks, "Do you even care?"
No, that's not what I'm saying. What do you want me to suggest? Stick to it this time? Follow through, maybe? I know, it's hard to say what to do because you're the one in the position. I can say all I want sitting back here. All right, and then you just want to assume and have an edit like I don't care. No, you asked, but you don't care? No, that's not it. I'm asking, what's going to be the difference or how does this change today? Okay. That's something you got to think about. We can write this all day long. You can come back 97 more times. But I don't know what to tell you. We'll be more than happy to write it up. We'll be more than happy to send it down. We'll be more than happy to arrest him once again.
Now, I want to keep a, like, paint a picture for you. She has her friend there. She's also got visible wounds that they actually take pictures of. And she's got two kids running around the lobby in there because she's trying to file a report and also try to talk to this officer. And she's got kids. So it's complete chaos for this woman at the same time. Here's some more.
You caught him last time.
Well, you
could have had him put away then.
Okay,
you know, that's all I'm saying. It's a question. It's not me being a jerk or anything.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's something that you have to figure out how you're going to handle this and how you're going to move forward. Because like you said, you haven't been able to, and it's going to keep happening, right? And this is the process. This is what happens with domestic violence, is it keeps happening. It's a repetitive process. I don't know how many times it takes. It sucks. The hard question you have to ask yourself is, when is enough enough? That's all I'm saying. I don't like guys that beat on women. Somebody really needs to beat the piss out of them, but unfortunately, you can't do that no more. All right?
So,
no.
Are we
going to
write this up then?
Yeah.
How long
does it take?
I wish I could beat him up, but I can't do that now. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, we can catch him, we can arrest him. He's going to get out if you don't show up. That's all I'm saying. Well, yeah, but like I say, if you don't show up, he just goes right back out.
So, at this point, they take her back, take pictures. Of what's going on. And now it's time to say goodbye to everyone. It's all over. We took pictures and we're filing a report.
Stop playing with them and you got to stick with this one.
I am going to.
Make sure she does. Make sure she does. Make sure she does. I'm letting her know. Okay.
And that's the voice of a second officer who comes in and they have a fun conversation. You want to go through that or you want to?
No, let's take a listen.
Okay, here we go.
So she comes in right away talking about it.
Can you pause it for a second, Brian?
And telling us that it's our fault.
So she has now left District 3. And there are, I think it's three officers, right, by this point?
Two to three, yes.
Two or three officers.
One officer takes the camera and the other one starts looking up different different violations.
And they're talking about this. And so if you start it back from the beginning of this cut, she's not there anymore. Her friend's not here. What you're hearing is a conversation amongst three police officers in District 3 after a woman came in with visible and serious injuries. Now, because the two officers 4 days prior on July 11th, the four officers didn't write up either of the calls from July 11th, there was nothing in the police system that would have shown that she called 4 days earlier. Now, she could have said that, but the woman's traumatized. All they saw was, oh, there was actually an incident report from October of 21. So this is July 15th, 2022. A victim of domestic violence with bruises on her face has just left District 3. And this is the conversation that three police officers have about
her. So when she comes in and we're talking about it and telling us that it's our fault because we never do shit about it. Okay. So like he goes on high speeds, he's got felonies, he did this. I'm like, okay, so I run her name. I'm like, so why didn't you show up at the last one? Oh,
you want to give me there so I can run both of them? Okay.
Yeah, it's all your fault, Jen. Everything that bitch went through, it's all your fault.
It's my fault.
We don't do but you don't do that was what she came up saying. That's why I'm like, I ain't got time.
You want to be me?
So I'm just saying, it's all your fault, man. No, she was just a she was a
ordered in yes tomorrow?
No, they just called him.
Okay. Called her the C word and the B word.
They don't understand that the guy hasn't been arrested. He actually has an open warrant out. He was arrestable both on July 11th and July 15th. They didn't do that. The prior four officers failed to write a report, which is a violation. They were rude to this woman. She's hurt, and then she leaves, and they call her the B word and the see you next Tuesday word and talk about how this is basically all her problem. Now, let me just say this. Every single person that I know that has to do jobs where you're interacting with people in crisis, it is mentally exhausting for those folks. And there is often a level of gallows humor, okay? What's concerning to me is not just their attitude after she leaves, but their attitude towards her when she was there. They were basically dismissive and rude and implied that it was all her fault anyways because she doesn't follow through with it. This is not how you talk to victims of domestic violence. So, Ashley, after she came in on July 15th, 2022, what happened?
There ultimately was at least one other contact that she had with Milwaukee police, another assault that was reported at a gas station over by MLK and Burleigh. The officers took a report then. They did a lethality assessment. She answered yes to every question. That assessment is a tool that frontline officers use to kind of help gauge which domestic violence cases are most at risk for fatal violence down the line. The officers did, at that point, check two possible addresses for the suspect and did not find him that evening. And then ultimately, Bobby Lou Scheffling. I did want to make a correction. It is Bobby Lou, not Bobby Joe.
Sorry, thank you.
That's okay. Bobby Lou Scheffling was ultimately found shot to death in her Milwaukee home July 26th of 2022.
So within 2 weeks and a day of when cops were called twice to help Bobby Lou Scheffling, she was dead. More with Journal Sentinel reporter Ashley Lutheran after these very brief messages. And remember, it is text to win. The word is Wisconsin. Text us via the app if you'd like to be entered to win one of our Scani Summer statewide text to win prize packages. They're all good stuff. My name is Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. We're talking about domestic violence and the culture of policing around it with JS reporter Ashley Lutheran. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Keep it locked.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's time to seize the moment. Trust the team at Round Lake Marina to get you on the water with dock and lift installation services and premium boat rental and sales. They carry the brands you love. Sea Arc, Godfrey, Nautique, Canda,
Shore Station, and Pure Pleasure. They're raising the bar for your summer experience, ensuring endless fun and relaxation on the water. Live free, have fun. Visit us at 12480 County Road B in Hayward, Wisconsin, or online at RoundLakeMarina.com.
Progressive presents 10 things on a food truck owner's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Stocking the fridge, prepping the stations, finding employees that get along well, finding employees that actually do their job. Looking at you, Gary. Balancing the books, balancing the flavors, having a fresh menu and fresh produce and fresh meat, but never a fresh mouth. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Wisconsin. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Our word to text to win via the app this hour you have until 4 p.m. is Wisconsin. Texting that via the Civic Media app, which you can get for free from your favorite app store, will enter you to win one of our prize packages. We give one thing away every hour, one thing away every day, and we'll have two grand prize winners at the end of our two-week contest. We've got weekend getaways, Wisconsin Dells, Lake Geneva, Door County, Crystal Lake with a pontoon, all good things. Maybe a couple Brewers tickets. Word this hour is Wisconsin. I'm joined this half hour by Journal Sentinel reporter Ashley Luthern, who has done exhaustive and many, many articles about the completely avoidable murder of Bobby Lou Scheffling. She was shot to death by her partner, who is now serving a life sentence for her murder. She was shot to death on July 26th. She asked cops for help a number of times. And basically that help didn't come until she was dead, until it was too late. This is the last bit of sound. This is on July 15th, Bobby Lou Scheffling walked into Milwaukee Police District 3 station to report yet another beating. She had the cops were called twice on July 11th because he was beating her that day. Again, walks in on the 15th. Gives a report. They take pictures of her because she's beaten up. They let her walk out. Didn't take her to, you know, like Sojourner Truth Center. Let her walk out again. 11 days later, she was dead. And after she left, because Ms. Scheffling has had some other interactions with the police herself, here's what one of the officers said at the very end. Go ahead, Brian.
I said, we arrested him last time. You didn't want to do anything. Oh, my God. Her f***ing driving records for her.
She, and she's on probation.
Mm. How old is she?
32.
Mm. Why are you messing with someone? She got two kids with her?
No, other baby daddies.
Oh, okay. I'm going
to call her a f***ing probation officer. Seriously, man.
Yep. Nope.
That's why you know he's failing. You know, hanging out with him, you know, and he got, and you know he got firearms on.
When I first started working, you know, you give people the benefit. I like that now. Come on.
I'm not gonna say no, but it's just the fact that
something like this.
I just put everything in the report. I don't care the result. I mean, I can't really, I don't care because no matter what, I'm still like your piece of shit for beating on a woman.
Closer.
He said he's going to call her probation officer and be a D about it.
He also, another one of the gentlemen that we're talking about, said, F them all.
I used to care about these people, but now F them all.
Ashley, again, thanks for your patience walking through that sound. It's so shocking to hear it. So important, so central to the story. Again, 11 days later, after that happened, Ms. Scheffling was dead. What did MPD do when this came to light? Were the officers involved in that discussion after she left District 3? Were they disciplined at all?
To my knowledge, no, they were not. MPD Let me back up a little bit, Maggie, if that's okay.
Please.
When I was reporting this story, this article published in April of last year, 2023, as I was reporting this story in the months after Bobby Lou Scheffling was found shot to death in her home, I, you know, was receiving records and, you know, conducting interviews. And I asked repeatedly to speak with MPD, to speak with the chief about these calls. I wanted to make sure I understood how they were handled, what the dispositions were. And once I received the video of this interaction at District 3 through an open records request, I went to the administration and said, I'd like to talk to you about this. And then they said, it's under internal review. That was all before my piece published. And so at that point, a couple months went by and I had asked for updates. Essentially, I learned that the primary officer who was speaking in that video clip, Officer Sean Toms, he had been sat down by his superiors at District 3. They talked to him about the interaction, said it appeared he was not following the department standards for treating the public with professionalism and courtesy and respect. And he essentially was reminded of that, and that's considered a non-disciplinary corrective action, was what I was later told. Then after the story publishes, and there's a lot of criticism of the department and of how Officer Toms handled this, then MPD, you know, to their credit, offers, you know, undertakes a full, what they call administrative review, essentially a full internal investigation into all 7 contacts that Bobby Lou Scheffling had with the department in the months leading up to her death. That includes the interaction at District 3. However, from my understanding, because the professionalism piece was already kind of looked at and dealt with, all the other pieces of the interaction, the fact that they did file a report, they did do the lethality assessment, they did offer services, and they did take photos of injuries, they did essentially follow the other parts of their job. And so there was no other discipline rendered in that interaction.
I wonder if Ms. Scheffling's family feels like they did their job.
I think it's pretty clear in the story. Her sister's quoted extensively in the first piece I published that she felt that they did not do their job. And the only reason that I made a records request for a video of that particular interaction was because her sister Tia had told me she saw how the police treated her sister, and she did not think they treated her well. She did not think they took her seriously. And I also thought it was notable that there was a claim that Ms. Scheffling was uncooperative when prosecutors wanted to issue charges in this case and they tried to reach her. You know, she was described as being uncooperative. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, she did make the effort to go into a district station. So to me, I wanted to see, if possible, her demeanor, what she said, what she sounded like. And so that's why I requested that potential footage in the first place.
We have just a minute left. The 4 officers that were responsible for the interactions on July 11th were disciplined. They received some short suspensions. They appealed those and then abandoned their appeal. We had you scheduled today, Ashley, because their appeal hearing challenging those suspensions was going to be today. But again, it appears that they have accepted those suspensions. Thank
you.
Two of them did. Thank you for your excellent reporting, Ashley. I'd love to have you back again. Keep digging. We appreciate you. My name is Maggie Dawn. She is Ashley Luther, and you can find her reporting at JS Online. He's Brian Kelly. You've been listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. The word to win, if you want to text in, you got 2 minutes left, is Wisconsin. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a TGIF edition. We have Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World with a week in review and Brady Ewing taking a look at sports. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.